Well, happy Easter, everyone. Great to see you. Is this on, Kerry? Am I coming through? Yeah, great. Doesn't sound fantastic. Am I coming through? No, I can't hear myself. Am I coming through the speakers? I am. I'm getting some nods. I'm just going to go with it. Well, happy Easter, everyone. It's wonderful to see you all here. My name is Josh. Welcome to Northmead Anglican. What a great year it is to be together. If you remember a year ago, we were watching online, so what a spectacular day to be together physically in this way. And I thought today we might do something where we can reach back into our Anglican archives and do something together, which we haven't been able to do for a while. So I'm going to say, and then if you're not an Anglican or never done this before, how you respond with gusto and boldness, you respond by saying, "He is risen indeed." So let's remember, why are we here today? Because Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your awesome word to us about your Son who loved us so much that he gave his life. We do pray that we come to your word now with humble hearts, be transformed, changed, and live renewed for him. And for your glory, thank you for your word of life and light and truth. We pray now that it would transform us and that we might be people who live for your glory and put our trust in your one and only Son. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, I wonder what the best gift is that you have ever received. I think that actually the answer to that will change depending on how old you are. So when I was in my teens, my sister gave me one of these. It was a PS1, if you don't know what you're looking at there. It's for playing games and it was awesome. When I was in my 20s, my parents gave me one of these, an iPod Nano. It was amazing that Christmas morning. I had so much fun. But I knew I was getting on in life when last Christmas, not getting a gaming console or a piece of cutting-edge technology, but I got one of these from my family, and it brought me so much joy. I almost cried. It's amazing. That's both, that thing both sucks leaves and it blows them. It's awesome. It was really thoughtful gift. It was a generous gift, and I use it all the time. But what made these gifts so great is the right gift at the right time. You see, if you had given me the garden blower when I was in my 20s, I wouldn't have responded with the joy that I did when I was a dad. So again, the right thing at the right time. And unlike, and sometimes you can give the wrong gift at the wrong time. A bit like me at Christmas time this year. I gave a gift to my wife, who I was convinced she was going to love. Just a bit of a backstory. There are some cool young people who I lead a small group at 6 p.m. And they started wearing these shoes, and I don't care if I offend people at this point because I'm probably going to offend a bunch of you. They started wearing some shoes called Birkenstocks. I think Birkenstocks are possibly the second ugliest shoe on the market. You've got Crocs, and then you've got Birkenstocks. And they started wearing these shoes, and I was saying to them, "You guys are hip and cool. I don't understand." And my wife, Bernie, kept saying, no, leave them alone. They look great in them. They're a fantastic looking shoe. And so I started to get convinced that she liked them. Christmas came around. Her thongs had broken. She said she needed some new shoes. So for 2.5 hours, my kids and I went around Castle Towers, found her some Birkenstocks. Christmas morning came. The camera is out. We're getting ready to take some photos of her enjoyment and her excitement at getting these shoes. She opens them up and says, "I think they're ugly too." See, again, the right gift at the right time actually matters. And it can be a really stressful thing getting me a gift. Being married to me can be a really hard thing. Buying me a gift is really tough work because of the way I love to give and receive affection. You see, there is this book called The Five Love Languages, and they're going to come up on the screen for you. And in this book, the author says there are five main ways we love to receive and give love. And the five are words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and gifts. Now, the author says, you know, most people express one or two or maybe three of these things to give and receive things. Not me. I'm all about the gifts. If you want to show me that you care about and value our friendship, that you appreciate what I've just done for you, don't tell me, just get me a Mars bar. That's all I want. That's how you can tell me how much I care. Matt Borg, the youth minister here, said actually there should be a sixth love language for you, JJ, and that is listening to your rants. And it's been willing to sit there and just nod and go, "Yeah, that was good, buddy." So buying me a gift can be really stressful. And I think we can often relate this idea of giving and receiving gifts to Christmas, don't we? Christmas is the time where you spend too much money. You stress about getting the right gift for the right person at the right time. But what I want us to see this Easter is the greatest gift that God has ever given us, the most precious gift that we could ever receive, the most spectacular piece of generosity bestowed on our world, is not that baby born in the manger, but the Christ who died and rose back from the dead, the King who conquered the grave, the Savior who took up the cross and smashed sin once and for all time. Because it's the exact gift every single person on this planet needs. It's the right gift at the right time to a world that desperately needs it. This is actually what Easter is all about. And this is the thing I want us to get about Easter, this gift that God has given us and how to receive it. And Ephesians chapter 2 is a great place for us to figure out how we do this. Verse 8 and 9 says this, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast." So we're going to spend some time today unpacking these verses and all that they mean for us. The first thing that I want you to notice that Paul, the writer here, says is it's all about a gift. This passage is telling us that God, who made everything, including you, has given us a gift. Now, what is this gift that God has given us? Well, I'm sure many of you know the answer already. It's His Son, Jesus Christ. "For God loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." But I wonder, have you ever been given a gift? It looks really good. You know you're meant to be impressed by it, but you're not sure what it's for. And so you kind of fake it. You're like, "Oh, this is amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I have no idea why this is so good." I think that's what our world does with God's gift. See, we celebrate the gift of Jesus at Christmas. We love singing songs about Him, enjoying time off work because of Him, being together with our family. We like it. Thanks. This is great. This is awesome. But we don't really get why we need Jesus, why we need this gift, and why it is actually so very good. And that is something I desperately want you to understand today. What makes God's gift of Jesus so very good? We've already been told a little bit again in verse 8, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift." What makes Jesus such a great gift is He is the Savior. And Jesus come to save us. In fact, an angel announced this to Joseph when Jesus was going to be born. In Matthew 1 verse 21, it says, "You are to name Him Jesus, because He will save His people from his sins." What makes this gift of Jesus so great is He is the Savior we all need, who has come to rescue us. And what exactly has He come to save us from? Well, there in the first verses of today's passage, verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler and the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the disobedient." We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts, and we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. I mean, the Bible is just super clear that every person who has ever lived or will live has sinned. We are sinners. We have all followed the ways of this world rather than the ways of God. We've all followed the ways of Satan rather than the way of God. We have followed the cravings and the passions and the desires of our hearts that are evil, rather than the word of God. In fact, Jesus Himself, when He came into the world, in Mark chapter 7 verse 20, says this of the human heart: "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a person." And I've got to tell you, if you cannot find your name, yourself up on that list, you are not looking hard enough, or you lack self-awareness. We know that we aren't perfect. We know that we have not done everything right in our lives. In fact, the most common things people ever say to me is, "But I'm not perfect. The Bible knows. And this passage says there is a consequence for living a life that is out of step with God. There is a reality that we will face because we have chosen to live a life that doesn't give God his rightful place in it. Verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You see, rejecting God leads to death. And that makes complete sense when you think about it. If you cut yourself off from the source of life, the writer of this letter, Paul, says in the book of Acts, God himself gives everything life and breath. So if you cut yourself off from that source of life, well, you will die. Now, it's a bit like your laptop, isn't it? Once you unplug your laptop from its power source, the battery starts to run down. It might take a few hours. It might even take overnight if it's new enough. But if you don't reconnect it to a power source, once that battery is gone, then you're left with nothing more than expensive paperweight. We might be breathing, we might be walking and talking, but as far as God is concerned, we are dead. Dead in our sins. It is a spiritual death. And this means we are far from God. And the terrible thing about this spiritual death is that when you die, and all that is left is spirit, what's going to continue? Well, this spiritual death, it will last forever. But even worse, says Paul, we will face God's judgment. We were by nature, he says, children under the wrath, as others were also. We're all going to face God's wrath, his anger, his judgment. Now, why am I telling you this? This is Easter Sunday. This is the day we remember Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered the grave. The tomb was empty. This is a day of celebration. Well, I'm telling you this because if you don't understand this, then you won't understand why the gift of Jesus is so very good and why you need it so much. You see, if someone is diagnosed with a terminal illness, what is the best gift you can give them? The cure. Or someone's on death row, the prisoner facing execution, what is the best gift you can give them? Well, it's a pardon, isn't it? The reason Jesus is the best gift God has ever given is because the situation we all face, and this is it, because of sin, we all face death and judgment. So what was this gift? Well, have a look. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace. Why is this gift of Jesus such a good thing? Because it's the gift of life to a dead person. Jesus has come so that you might have life. And how does this work? Well, it's because of our sin that we are facing death. It's because we have rejected God that we're going to die. So what we need is life. What we need is someone to deal with our sin, to get rid of our sin. And it's exactly what Jesus came to do. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, he says to those listening, the Son of Man, that's his favorite title in the Gospel of Mark, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to give his life that he lived for you. His life of complete acceptance and love of God. His life that deserves God's generosity and kindness and favor for all eternity. And your life, he swaps, which is deserving of death and judgment. Jesus swaps for us. That's exactly why he came. His death on the cross makes this exchange possible. You see, Jesus is the gift of life to those who deserve death. And so this is God's gift that he gives us. And this is something that I want you to get. And this is where I actually think almost every single person I meet kind of gets this wrong. How do you receive this gift? And I think they get it wrong, not because I'm smarter or because they're dumb and I'm intelligent. Most people get this wrong because they actually don't know what the Bible says. Most people get it wrong about how you receive this gift. You see, a lot of people think you get this gift through what you do. If I'm good or nice, or if I do everything right, then God will give me the gift of Jesus. Let me go to heaven. then God will take away my sins. The problem of thinking about God like this is he kind of actually becomes a bit like that relative of yours in your life, or that person in your life who never approves of what you do, who is always there but is never happy with your efforts. They're a bit like, it's a bit like Everyone Loves Raymond. Have you guys seen this show? It's a show from the noughties. I love this sitcom, Everyone Loves Raymond. It's a bit like the mum in this show. She's the one awkwardly hugging Ray, the main character there, from behind. See, Marie loves her family, but no matter what people did for her in the show, you could never win this woman's approval. It didn't matter how hard people tried. There was always something wrong with what they do. And when we start to think of God like this, we start to see God as this kind of cosmic Marie in the sky. We're always trying to please him, always trying to make him happy, but no matter how hard we try, it's just never enough. And so we think, man, I've got to pray. I've got to go to church. I've got to give to the poor. I've got to be nice to my neighbors. I've got to make sure I never speed. And then God will let me have this gift. But have I prayed enough? Have I gone to church enough in my life? Have I given enough money to the poor? Is God happy with me? And so we think, I don't know if God is pleased. And even when we do these things, we might think, well, am I sincere about them? Or am I just simply going through the motions? Do I just go to church to tick the box or to engage with God's word? Do I give to the poor because I actually care or because it looks good? And the more we dwell on these things, it seems like we just can't please this God who made us. And if this is how you see God, well, then you haven't understood his gift. It's not about impressing God through what we do, because it's never going to be enough. But look at verse 8. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And the word I want to focus on there is grace. Grace is not simply the thing that you say before a meal. It describes God's generosity. Then when he gives you something you don't deserve. That's why it's called a gift, because you didn't earn it. I mean, imagine this Easter. A lot of you have little kids here. Imagine this Easter. You bought them their giant Easter egg. They had big smiles on their faces. And then all of a sudden, they run to their room. They grab their money box and they say, how much was this, Mum and Dad? 20? 30? I mean, some of you might be like, oh, that's good. I'm getting my money back. But that's not how gifts are meant to work. They completely missed the point. The gift of God is exactly what it says it is, a gift. Jesus coming to earth, dying for your sins, taking the punishment of God, rising back to life, it is all a gift. You don't do anything to deserve it. You just accept it. Why? Because he loves you. I mean, we so often get the idea of gifts wrong, don't we? If someone buys you a birthday present and you didn't buy them anything that year, you automatically feel obligated, don't you? I've got to make sure I pay them back the next time I see them. I've got to make sure I get them a gift of equal value. But a true gift is something freely given with no strings attached. It's exactly what God gives us. We deserve death and judgment, but he gives us his son to die for the world. But so what? Well, the first thing I want to say is, receive this gift today, if you haven't done so already. You know, the gift that I often love getting these days is vouchers. I mean, I love getting vouchers. It's kind of like money, but you're kind of told where to shop. Vouchers are awesome because you get to choose the present. Most of mine are for Bunnings or JB Hi-Fi, seems to be the trend. I really like that. The problem I sometimes have with vouchers is this, though. I leave them in my wallet all year long, and I forget they're there, and then I finally get them out, and they're past their use-by date, and then they become a useless piece of plastic. You see, a gift is only worth something if you actually receive it. And the gift of God is just like that. God offers you life for free through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love for us, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our trespasses. But you've got to actually claim it. You have to receive it for yourself. It's what the Bible calls faith, accepting this gift from God. And the tragic thing is, so many people are desperately trying to accept, to please God, to be accepted by Him, not realizing this amazing gift is on offer, this gift of eternal life. And they leave it unwrapped on the shelf, never receiving it. There are millions of people completely missing the point of Easter this year. What a tragedy. If you lived your whole life and left this gift unopened and never received it, you hear about this gift, you hear about this new life, but that's all you do. You come here every Easter and every Christmas to North Mead Anglican. It's your tradition. You hear about this gift, but you never have it in your life. I've got to tell you, if that is you, you've completely misunderstood the gift. So accept this gift, and it will change your life forever. The second thing I think we do with this gift is we need to make sure we use it. You know, my friend was once given this amazing pasta maker. He was convinced it was going to change his life. His wife had bought it for him. He'd been begging for it for ages, and he got it, and he said every single week, he told me, he's going to make pasta, fresh, delicious pasta for his family. That lasted 2 weeks, and that was 6 years ago. He's got this amazing thing, but it just stays in the box. And we can do the same thing with this gift from God. He's given us this gift of resurrection and life forever with Him, so use it. Why did God give this gift to you? So that you might live your life for Him, live your life His way, follow Him, doing what He wants. That's what this new gift of life is for. And so often people receive this new gift, but they keep living their life that was once dead and broken. So if you have received this gift, then use it from God. Don't leave it. Sit in that box, enjoy it, and live a life for Him. And so as we finish, I actually want to give you the opportunity today to receive this gift from God. And I'm going to use the prayer that is in your handout. And I want to urge you, don't leave this gift unwrapped any longer. Open it up, receive it into your life, and be changed. And if you want to make this your prayer, well, simply pray it quietly in your heart and repeat it after me in your heart as I prayed out for us. So let's talk to God. Dear God, I know that I am not worthy to be accepted by You. I don't deserve Your gift of eternal life. I am guilty of rebelling against You and ignoring You. I need forgiveness. Thank You for sending Your Son to die for me, that I may be forgiven. Thank You that He rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me and change me, that I may live with Jesus as my ruler. Amen. Look, I want to say, if that was the first time you have prayed that prayer, if you have received that gift for the first time today, please let us know. Put that down in the connection card, tick the box, and we will be in contact with you, because we want to help you know how to use this gift in your life. We're now going to stand and sing an awesome song called All Creatures of Our God and King, which really helps us to be overjoyed in the fact that Christ has conquered every sin in our lives. So let's stand and sing together.